We want to focus today on a sugya in Masechta Brachos with very practical daily applications. And the sugya presents three different activities that are prohibited before davening. The first one, which we'll see, is Rav, that's called She'ela Shalom. The second one, which is called Asiyas Chafotov, that's a statement of Rav Idi. And the third one is called Achila and Shasia, eating and drinking, and that's back in an earlier sugya of Rav Yossi. So let's take them one at a time. First, the Gemara quotes Rav, Kol anosein shalom lechavero kodim sheyispalel ki ilu asa'o boma. And he quotes a pasuk to prove this. The pasuk is in Yeshayahu Anavi, but the pasuk doesn't actually mention a boma at all. It does say Beis Mem Hei, but he's changing the vocalization. Yeshayahu Hanavi says, Chidlu lachem min ha'adam asher neshama bi'apo ki ba'men nechshavu. Nothing here about a bama. But Rav says, Al tikri ba'meh el bama. Now, when we speak about a bama, what we're speaking about is breaking away from the normal halachic avoda. Now, of course, there are periods of time where a bama is permissible, but that's not what Rav is referring to. He's referring to what we call the achar iser bamos. And the way that the Torah prescribes avodah is in the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach, but not on a personal bama. And basically what we're saying is that somehow, according to Rav, if he gives shalom to his friend, he is in some way undermining avodah, meaning tefillah. Right? If the Torah says, Vavaditem es Hashem eizu avoda zui tefila. Now, our avoda today, and so far as we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, is replaced by tefila. And there, that expresses itself in various ways. Nishalva parms faseinu, the fact that there are three tefilos each day, which correspond to the three karbonos of each day. I mean, the third is Ma'ariv, that's of course Hekter, Chalom, Vayvarim, fine. We have a Shmon Esrei, Ritzei, which is the introduction to Avoda. And the Mishnah says in Avos, Al Shlosh Dvarim Holom Omeid, Al Torah V'Al Avod V'Al Gimilz Chasodim. And the Mefarshei Mishnah in Avos say that today we don't have Avoda, but the world stands on tefillah. So tefillah becomes a replacement for avodah. Now, apparently, according to Rav, this individual, called the Nosein Shalom L'Chaver Kol Shiyispalel, he in some way is pogea in tefillah. He's undermining avodah, undermining tefillah. And the classical description of undermining, usurping tefillah, or an avodah, I should say, would be a bama. And that's what he sees here. Now, how does this fit into the pasuk? It says, "Chidlu lachem min ha'adam asher neshama bi'apo ki bana bama nechshavlo." Stay away from a person, even though this human being has a neshama, because if you don't stay away from him, then it's going to be considered as if you brought a karbon on a bama. That's the way Rav is learning it. Now, what does it mean to stay away from a person? It doesn't mean, obviously, that you have to be marchik yourself dalet amos from a person. But what it means is that normally you meet a person, you greet him, you say to him, shalom. And in this case, the pasuk says, chidlu lachem. Chidlu means stay away from saying shalom. And if you don't, in other words, I guess you could say that Rav's statement has really two parts to it. Number one, he's talking about enhancing tefillah. To enhance your tefillah, you want to make sure that the first being that you speak to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number two, he seems to be saying that there's also an Iser involved. It's not just that you want to enhance your tefillah by putting Hashem up first, but it's also prohibited to do this because in some way it undermines tefillah. Now, we can probably figure out Rav to some extent, but the real question that I want to address is Shmuel, because the Gemara immediately quotes Shmuel, and Shmuel says that he doesn't want to take the pasuk and change the vowels, but he wants to read it kipshuto. Bame chashavto laze velo le'eloka. So Shmuel reads it bame, and it says bame nechshav hu in the pasuk. What does that mean? Bame chashavto laze velo le'eloka. Chashavto, meaning that you gave him a chashivus, and you didn't give chashivus to God. So at this point, you get the impression that Shmuel is not worried about enhancing tefillah as much as he's worried about insulting kaviyachol. It's an insult to kaviyachol because you were machshiv this one before you gave the kavod and the chashivus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, what Shmuel is saying is that the moment that the obligation of tefillah emerges, at that point, your obligation is to be osek b'kvod ha-makom. And instead, what you chose to do was to be osek b'kvod adam. So Shmuel is not really talking about undermining tefillah. He's not willing to call it a bummer. Your tefillah would be a perfectly good tefillah, point to Shmuel. But the problem is that you gave a certain chashivus and a certain kavod to a human being before you gave to God. I would not assume that that's necessarily a pegiah in tefillah, but rather it comes under a separate isur. Now, what I wanted to ask you is, it seems that Rav and Shmuel are having some sort of a debate over here. Do you get that impression? Because Rav wants to read the pasuk one way, and Shmuel wants to read the pasuk kipshuto another way. So I don't understand exactly what they're arguing about, and is it possible that there's an afkemina halacha lemaisa? So in the olamot.net that I asked you to look at, again, I don't know how many pages you may have printed out, but on page 9, he has a sefer called Mishnas Yosef. And frankly speaking, I'm not sure if anybody could just quickly Google this as we speak and tell me who's the author of this sefer. I don't know. But be that as it may, right now we want to see what he says. And in the second paragraph, he writes that he wants to understand and explain the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And he says that the problem of Sheila Shalom Kodem Sheyispalel is a twofold problem. Number one, it's the word Shalom. Specifically the word Shalom. Why? Because Shalom is Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a Gemara in Shabbos. And now, he's using Hashem's name to greet his friend. At this point, God's name is meant to be addressed in tefillah, and not to be used for other purposes. Now, that's number one. And that for sure would definitely define Rav Shita. That Rav is talking about specifically, I know saying Shalom Lechavero. Now, why do I say that all the emphasis here is on the word Shalom? Because if you take a look on your page one, Rabbeinu Yonah says that he quotes the Chachmei Provanzi on the second line. He writes, "Eino aser elikisha mazkir lo shalom." That the whole ganze business here about greeting your friend before davening is because he uses the name, the word shalom, shehu shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc. And then he writes that there's a tremendous nafkemina l'alacha. He says, "Avol muta lomalo tzafra demari tav," which we would say good morning, right? "Kevon di eino mazkir lo shalom," since he doesn't say the word shalom. So the Chachmei Provanzi are outspoken here, very explicit, that if you want to say good morning to someone, that's okay. However, Rabbeinu Yonah is not going to be excited about this. Of course, this is written by the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Yonah, and they quote their Rebbe Rabbeinu Yonah saying, "Afilu ze eino mutar." It's not permissible, even if you say good morning without mentioning the name Shalom. Now, in order to appreciate why Rabbeinu Yonah is machmir here against the Chachmei Provanzi, even if he doesn't say Shalom, we want to go on to another aspect of what you're not allowed to do. I wouldn't call it another category necessarily, but another dimension of category number one, She'ela Shalom. And that is, if you go back to the Gemara on Daf Yudalid, the Gemara says that Tirgama Rabbi Abba B'mashkim L'pischo. The Gemara quoted a brisa that distinguishes between being Shoel, you know, taking the initiative, and being Meshiv and responding to someone who greeted you. And all this has to do with the laws of Kriyat Shema, but the Gemara here applies it to this discussion about Kodem Shiyispal. The Gemara says the name of Rab Abba, B'mashkim L'pischo, which means, Rashi says, that you deliberately went to his house, you know, you knocked on his door, you haven't davened yet, in order to greet him. Says Rashi, Avol Pogo B'derech, if he happens to meet him, they're both on the way to shul, let's say, or his friend is on the way out of shul, he's on the way into shul, or any number of different scenarios, is Shoel. Then he's allowed to take the initiative and greet his friend. So we now have two different dimensions of the Iser of Kodem Tefillah with regard to Sheila Shalom. Number one, we have Hanosein Shalom L'Chaveru Kodem Sheyispalel. And now we have Mashkim L'Pischo Kodem Sheyispalel. Now if we go back to the Chachmei Provanzi that we started with here in Rabbeinu Yonah, they write, he says, again, we said, "Muta lomalo tzafra demari tav, kevon she'eno mazkir lo shalom." Then Rabbeinu Yonah himself disagrees, and he says that even to say tzafra demari tav is prohibited, but in what scenario does Rabbeinu Yonah agree that it's mutar to say tzafra demari tav? Because again, the Gemara does have a heter of Shoel b'Shlomo. He says, "Kishetzarech lo leches liros li esek me'asakov o l'shum inyan." He says he's not going specifically to his friend's house for the purpose of greeting him, but he has to go there for something, you know, he has to pick up something. And that's prohibited under the law of Mashkim Lepischo, and that would include even if he says Tzafer Demaritab, because he went out of his way to greet his friend. Avolim Eino Holech Ela Lahakpil Pun of Kol Matfila. He says Afilu Aloshon, Afilu Ze Aloshon Asur. So he's saying the following, that if I understand Rabbeinu Yonah correctly, in Rabbeinu Yonah's opinion, under one of two circumstances, it's prohibited. Either if he's saying the word shalom, or if he's deliberately going to his friend's house to greet him. And then it's also, even if he doesn't use the word shalom, he simply says tzafer demaritav. What would be, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that's what I want to think about with you, if he doesn't use the word shalom, and he wasn't makdim lebeso, mean lekabel panav before tefillah, but rather he was holech leesek, and he doesn't use the word shalom. So both conditions are lacking. He wasn't deliberately being mashkim lepischo, and he wasn't using the word shalom, but rather he simply finds his friend, greets his friend, meets his friend, and he says good morning to him. It would seem, if I'm reading Rabbeinu Yonah correctly, that would be mutter even according to Rabbeinu Yonah. Whereas according to the Chachmei Provancia, even if he's mashkim lepischo, it's not prohibited. I can deliberately go to your house, knock on your door, you know, before I go to daven, go out of my way to do so, as long as I don't use the word shalom, because according to the Chachmei Provancia, the only thing that's prohibited is when there's two things that go on, meaning Tirgum Rabbi Abba b'mashkim lepischo. According to the Chachmei Provance, means when do we say that no saying shalom lechavero is prohibited? Dafka when he's mashkim lepischo. So whereas Rabbeinu Yonah says either or would be prohibited, the Chachmei Provance says that both would be prohibited. That when you have both, it's prohibited. Did I explain myself well? Again, there are, according to Chachmei Provancia, only if you check off two conditions is it prohibited. It's got to be shalom, with the name shalom, and it's got to be mashkim lepischo. So for example, if I knock on your door in order to say good morning to you, that's fine. If I happen to meet you and I say shalom, that's also fine. But if I go deliberately to knock on your door to say shalom, that's prohibited. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Yonah, either or are automatic prohibitions. If I use the word shalom to wish you shalom, that's prohibited even if I happen to meet you. And if I go deliberately to greet you in the morning and knock on your door, that's prohibited even if I don't say shalom. And either of those two conditions will be enough to generate the Isur. So now let's go back to the Mishnas Yosef that we started with. He says, Shnei Inyon, number one, Asur li Adam, Loma li Adam Shalom, Lifnei Atfila, Shu Shmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, Asur la Hashkim lepischo, Shemechaved es ha'adam lifnei shemechaved Hashem Yisparach. So if I go to your house deliberately to greet you before I've davened, I'm giving you kavod before I give kavod to Ribono Shel Olam, and that's prohibited. Now, at this point, I would say we have a perfect understanding of Rabbeinu Yonah, because Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that, number one, to use the name of Hashem in order to greet a person before davening is prohibited. Number two, if I go to knock on your door before I go to knock on Hashem's door, and I gave you COVID first, that's also prohibited. So either or should be prohibited. But Rabbi Yona quotes the Chachmei Provancia, and they hold that also Rak Lomar Shalom, the whole Easter boils down to saying Shalom, and it's got to be because he's Mashkim Lepischo. Ubi Eino Mashkim Lepischo Mutalo Lomar Shalom Lefnei Tfilas Yudches. So then when does it become Asur? If it's Mashkim Lepischo and he uses the name Shalom. So Hainu Rak Bitravayu, if he has both of them, then Asire. Number one, Shalom, and number two, Hashkama Lepischo. Rabbi Yonah Cholek, Usvile de la Hashkim Lepischo, Becholof and Asur, Afil Lomar Tzafa de Maritav, Ukolshkein Shalom. And Rabbi Yonah is also clear that saying Shalom is an automatic Isur, even in case where he happens to greet his friend. So again, let me just make sure the language is clear here. V'nir l'mori arav, back in the Ran, he says, in Rabbi Nion, excuse me, he says, afilu zeinim mutar, he says that if he happens to chance upon his friend, even that's not mutar, if he mentions the shame, which according to Chachmei Provancia would be mutar. El kshahutzach oleches liros asokov, and then he's allowed to say Tzafra de Maritav. So again, even though he's not going deliberately to greet his friend, he says Mutalo Lomar Tzafra de Maritav, but when he's Hutzach Loleches Liros Esek Measokov Olashum Inya. And again, I think the logic of Rabbi Yonah is clear. Rabbi Yonah is telling us that you're not allowed to use the Shem Hashem before davening to greet your friend, and also you can't go out of your way to be mechabed your friend by knocking on his door before you daven. So he writes here, Geder Ashkava LePesach Chavero. How do you define whether or not he was mashkim to his friend's house? The answer is, what's motivating him? If he's holech lechvodo, that's called mashkim lepesach avero. And that, even if he just says tavra demori tav, that also is showing a kavod to an adam by going to his friend to greet him before davening. Then he writes, afilu im ike maderech. But if he's on the way for another reason, and he goes out of his way to knock on his friend's door, k'dei lavar al yidei pesach havero. So in other words, like, let's say he has two roads in order to achieve his goal, and he goes out of his way to take a different road so that he can pass by his friend's house, is mutal lomar tzafra demaritav. Why? Because ikar alichoso is lo lichvod. L'chvod Adam. Notice the fact that he chose one route over the other, so that he could, to facilitate his ability to say, you know, say good morning to someone. That doesn't mean that he's putting the covet of his friend first, as long as the ikar halicha was not for the purpose of kavod. So in other words, he's going from point X to point Y. Why is he doing so? And the answer is because he has to take care of something. Even though he could have gotten to that place Y by going through a different road, he specifically, deliberately chose that road that ends up at place Y in order to give himself the opportunity to say good morning to someone. That's okay. Alright, now we go back to square one. What is the Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel? That's what we started with. If you remember, Rav spoke about Ki'ilu Aso Bama. And Shmuel says, no, b'men echshav lo. So it could be that what Rav wants to emphasize here is the specific iser of using the word shalom. And that's an automatic no-no, an absolute prohibition. You can't say shalom to someone before tefillah, because that's considered aso bama. What does that mean, bama? Bama means you're undermining the seder of avoda. The seder of avoda means on the mizbeach and not on the bama. Here, the seder of avoda means to use Hashem by, not use Hashem, okay, that's not a good term, but to approach Hashem and encounter Him in avoda. And instead, you're taking Hashem and giving Hashem's name to your friend by being makdim shalom, no saying shalom with the word shalom. And that would seem to indicate what we saw in the Chachmei Provencia, that the emphasis on this prohibition is the word shalom. And that undermines tefillah, because shalom is designated for HaKadosh Baruch. Shmuel is talking about something else. Shmuel is talking about men nechshavu, that he was machshiv someone else. And that is the Ikar HaIsur now, is not to be machshiv someone before tefillah, because right now you have to be machshiv and give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch. Now, this would sound like Rabbeinu Yonah. And therefore, if he's mashkim lepischo, according to Shmuel, it's irrelevant whether he uses the name Shalom or not. Because once he's mashkim lepischo, in order to greet him, that itself is a pegia in Kvod Hashem. He's giving Kvod Adam first, primary, instead of Kvod Hashem. And that sounds like Rabbeinu Yonah, because Rabbeinu Yonah says even without the name Hashem, you could violate this Isur. Yeah, the only problem I have here is that it seems to me that it's not fair to identify Shmuel with Rabbeinu Yonah as an absolute equation, because Rabbeinu Yonah has also what Rav has had to say, that the word shalom is an automatic prohibition. So it just seems to me that although I agree with this presentation that Shmuel accepts one part of Rabbeinu Yonah, which means that Shmuel is going to expand the Iser of Shela Shalom to apply even when he doesn't use the name Shalom, which means that he was mechabed his friend by being mashkim lepischo first, no matter what language he uses, even if he says tzafra demoritav. But on the other hand, I don't think it's fair to identify Shmuel and Rabbeinu Yonah, because Rabbeinu Yonah goes on and says that there's an automatic absolute iser of using the name Shalom, and that reflects the sheet of Rav. So in a certain sense, I would say that the sheet of Rabbeinu Yonah in accepting either or as being asur, whether you use the name Shalom or whether you makdim lepischo even tzafra demar, that combination of the two is because Rabbeinu Yonah is accepting both isurim, the isur that's formulated by Rav of no saying Shalom and the isur that's formulated by Shmuel of mashkim lepischo. And Rabbeinu Yonah is being machmer like both shitos. What is the machlokas Rav and Shmuel? Rav is bothered by the word shalom, and Shmuel is bothered by the makdim lepischo, the cover that he gives to his friend first. Rabbeinu Yonah is going to accept both lechumra, and either or is asur. Whereas the Chachmei Provence are accepting Rav and only Rav, meaning the Isur according to the Chachmei Provencia is mentioning the name of Shalom. Amal mutalo tzafra demara, but he can say tzafra demara tava since he's not mentioning the name Shalom, and that would apply even if he knocks on his friend's door and he's mashkim lepischo. Because if you look in the Lashon of the Chachmei Provence, afilu b'mashkim lepischo, eino osur elikim kishemazkilo shalom. So it means that according to the Chachmei Pravanti, we have to combine both Rav and Shmuel together in order to generate an Iser. It's got to be both that he mentions the name Shalom, and number two, that he was Makdim and Mashkim Lepischo, whereas according to Rabbeinu Yonah, we accept both the Chumras of Rav and Shmuel. Each one is enough to generate an Iser, whether it's Shalom alone, even if he happens to greet his friend, he happens to encounter his friend, or whether it's Makdim Lepischo, even if he says Safra Demarita. That's what I get from this sugya. Sweating it out here. Yeah, Dan?
If the problem is with mentioning the name Shalom, then I shouldn't be able to say Shalom ever. If it's the
And the
mere mentioning of the name Shalom is the problem and nothing else, then I shouldn't be able to say Shalom ever.
No, Dan, what we're saying is that to say the name Shalom and use it as a method of greeting someone, that itself is a kavod to Hashem. That's a positive thing. When I greet you and I say Shalom, and I wish you Shalom, I'm wishing you some sort of divine blessing. That itself is kavod to Hashem. The only thing is to take the name of Hashem and use it as a blessing before I've encountered Hashem. Meaning, now at this moment in time, my obligation is to stand in front of Hashem. Then it's a little bit of a chutzpah on my part if now I'm going to use the name of Hashem for my purposes and for your purposes to bestow a brach upon you. But again, if right now I've already fulfilled my chiyuv of standing in front of Hashem, then on the contrary, to use the name of Hashem in this way is to give kavod to Hashem. To say that
Can I say the Yudke Vavke to somebody and say, may Yudke Vavke give you this and that whenever I want? Can I say
no,
that?
No, I have a feeling that there may be other Isurim involved in that case, but the Chiddush of Rav is that even to say Shalom is also, meaning Shalom is, you know, they're what's called Shemos HaKadoshim, they're a Kinuyim, you know, they have different... you know, I and Rav of Hilchus Yisodiyat Torah to see the different dinim that apply. We go down to Madrigal and use the name Shalom. Rav wants to tell you that even to use the name Shalom before davening is prohibited. Okay, Rabosai, let's see with the time that we have allotted to us what we can accomplish. We have a second sugya which is called Asiyas Chafotzov. So you'll see it on the top of your page 1. Omar Avi'idi Bar Ovin, etc. Asur lo liadam lasos chafotzov kodem sheyispalel. Okay, we have to figure out what this means, and he derives it from a pasuk in Tehillim. Tzedek lefanov yahalech v'yaseim liderech pa'omov. Okay, what does this mean? So Rashi embellishes this. Rashi says that Dibro Maskel Tzedek, Tefillah, the word Tzedek is an allusion to Tefillah. What's the connection between Tzedek and Tefillah? Shematzdiko Leboro. That Tzedek ultimately means that we... Gee, I don't know how to make this into a verb. To justify, no, that's not the word, but to accept Hashem as justice. God is just. No matter what happens, God is just. And that's tefillah. Tefillah is predicated, according to Rashi, on what we call tzidduk ad-din, on being matzdik the borei. Because if God is not, chas v'sholom, just, then what's the point to praying in front of him? You know, you're not going to gain a thing. Okay, tzedek lefanov. So tzedek is a reference to tefillah. Lefanov means in the presence of God. And then it says, v'yaseim liderech pa'amav. Then he goes off on his own, and he's involved in whatever he needs to get involved in. He goes off on his way, he goes to work, whatever he does. So again, at this point, I'm not sure exactly what constitutes chafotzov. What is chafotzov? For example, there are people who go to mikvah, before davening. That's not called chafotzov, apparently. That's called chefzei shomayim. So that's mutter. But what about people who want to go shopping for Shabbos on Friday morning before davening? Is that called chafotzov? Well, that's also called chefzei shomayim. That's a bit confusing. And, for example, when you talk about chafotzov, what happens if he's not going out of his way to do something for himself before davening, but he has to take care of something before davening? At what point do we say no? He's being osek b'chafotzov before davening. So that's category number two. We have to get back to this. Then we get to category number three, and that's a Gemara Brachos on Daf Yud. And you'll see this right before the end of your page. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, blah, blah, blah. Kol ha'ochel v'shoseh v'yakach mispalel olav ha'kosuv omer. So we're talking about a person who eats or he drinks before davening. And this statement of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina is based on a previous statement of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, that lo sochlu al hadam, lo sochlu kodem shetispalel, tispalu al dimchem. And if you go ahead and you eat before davening, or you drink before davening, is olav akosuv omer, he quotes the pasuk, vi osi hishlachta achrei gavecha. So pasuk malachim aleph. Al tikri gavecha ela ge'echa. Ge'echa is a kind of, geus means a kind of conceit. He's showing himself to be, you know, very significant. He's misgoyah. And why? Because he ate or he drank before davening. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, li'achar shenizgoyah zeh, after he showed himself to be such a bal gaiva, you know, he takes care of his eating and his drinking, is kibel all of Malchus Shamayim? Yeah, he's more concerned about himself than the King of Kings, of being makabel on himself, Malchus Shamayim. Now, the strange thing about this sugya, as I'm sure you noticed, is that the Gemara starts with the pasuk lo sochel al adam, which means that there's a separate Isra Achila, Kodem Shetispalu al Dimchem. Then the Gemara goes on to say, well, there's a pasuk Osi Hishlachta Achrei Gavecha, which means Geecha. That sounds like a whole different thing. Now, the first quote is a quote from a pasuk in Chumash, and it sounds like there's a separate Isra Achila before davening. The second pasuk is on a moral, ethical level. Who are you, big Mr. Big Shot? You didn't even come in front of the king as you were required to accept his malchus, and instead you're out there fressing, you're eating. And the question is, are we dealing with an Isu Doraisa or Isu Drabana? And is there an afgamina perhaps between the two reasons that the Gemara gives? Now on this last question about the possibility of an afgamina, we have here an entire essay from Rav Weiss. What's his name? Help me out here, Rav Osai. Rav Osher Zelig Weiss. I should know his name pretty well because his brother is married to my first cousin. Okay, anyway. So Rav Osher Weiss is on pages 10 and 11, and it was published in a journal called Sefer HaZikaron. And he's going to actually work very hard here for two pages to come up with an afkamina. So, b'li neder, if we have time, I'd like to come back and see what nafkaminas he comes up with. Well, let's go back to Sheila Shalom. So, in the case of Sheila Shalom, Rav Sheshes says, what's going on over here? B'prakim shoel mipnei ha-kavod u'meshiv. It sounds like the Isur of She'ela Sholmi Chaver Kon Tfila is lifted Mipnei HaKavod. And Rabbi Abba says, no, b'mashkim l'pischa. So it means that if you happen to meet a person, then it's mutter. Again, I'm not going into the question of whether or not you're allowed to say shalom or you have to say good morning. But it means that it's mutter. That's the way we learned the sugya. That's the way Rashi learns the sugya. And then we get to the Rashba. The Rashba, which you'll see as the second source on your page, writes that the Iser of Shalom Chavero is Afilu B'motzi Chavero Bashuk. Even if he greets his friend in the marketplace, he doesn't go to his house and knock on his door. Says the Rashba, K'deish lo yifne libo l'shum dovar ad sheyispalel. He should not be distracted in any way from tefillah. So he greets his friend in the shuk, and he meets his friend in the shuk, and he doesn't greet his friend. Now, if you take a look on the left side, you'll see the Rush, and in the Rashba, he quotes a Ravid. So we have the Rashba himself, who says, Afilu b'motzi chaver b'shuk. Then the Rashba quoting the Ravid, Shenagu lomar baboker tzafra demartav, kidei sheyitein lev shu osol is akev bidvar machem klalat sheyispalel, mipnei shu mishana bilshono yizkar. The Ravid says, you know, the Rashba is really correct. You shouldn't be greeting your friend in any way, in any shape, or any form before davening. That's going to distract you from davening. However, we're going to allow you to say the words Tzafra Demari Tav, what we say in our language, Boker Tov. Every language is different, right? And the reason for that is because that's going to remind you that you shouldn't get distracted from davening. Don't start asking him about how his family is and how he enjoyed Yom HaTzma'ut and what he's doing for Lag BaOmer, you know, who's building the largest bonfire. Don't, you know, you get sort of like distracted. So you need a memory device. And the fact that he goes out of his way to say, he says, Tzafra Demaritav, and he reminds himself that he's not going to say Shalom Aleichem, that's going to be a restraint, you know, creating a restraint from him getting into conversation. So it sounds like both the Rashba and the Ravid are not interested here in kavod so much, but rather this Issa goes beyond mashkim lepisko, which might be a kavod to his friend before he gives kavod to him, but rather the fact that he's already involved in you know, things that might distract him from tefillah. Question is, if he says something other than shalom, maybe that'll remind him, hey, why am I not saying shalom? Because I don't want to get carried away. So again, it would seem once again that the Iser of Shela Shalom is a twofold Iser. Number one, as we explained in Rav, and this was certainly the Chachmei Provancia, the name, the word shalom as the name of God is prohibited. And number two, that either he's being mechabit his friend before he's being mechabit his friend, or alternatively, what he's doing is he's putting himself into a dangerous situation where he gets so distracted that he's not focused on his main obligation of tefillah. Now, how do we paskin la halacha lemaisa? It seems to me, and this is on page 3, that if you read the Shulchan Aruch carefully, he is paskening like Rabbeinu Yonah. And that means that even if he has to go a certain place and he passes by his friend's house, he can't say shalom to him. Let me see if I can make a case for that in the language of the Mechaber. He writes, Kevan sheigia zman tefila osel yodom lahaktim lepesach avero liten lo shalom mishum dishmo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom amal mutal lomalo safra demari tav vafilu ze eno mutar elo kishahutzrach lo leches liros eze esek amalim eno holich el lahakbil panov kodun tefila afilu bizeh alosh and osu. It seems to me that he's copying Rabbi Yon, that there's an absolute iser if he gives shalom. But if he's using the language of tzafer demari tav, that'll be okay, but only if he chances upon his friend. But if he's going specifically lahakbil panav kodet tefila afilu bezelosh, and even if he says tzafer demari tav, the first iser of shalom applies straight across the board. And then if you fast forward, he says v'yesh omrim shafilu b'motze chaveru b'shuk lo yomar lo elat tzafer demari tav. And now he seems to be paskening like the Ravid, that there's another iser to that applies to tzafra. No, I'm sorry, just 1 second. What's the yesh omrim that he finds his friend in the shuk? He's afraid of being distracted. But 1 second, I'm a little confused because we just finished saying. Okay, I'm sorry. So then, if you take a look before the second Yesh Omrim, I'm sorry, I skipped the middle Yesh Omrim. There are two Yesh Omrims here. And you'll only understand the second Yesh Omrim after you've seen the first Yesh Omrim. He says, the first Yesh Omrim says that ein lochus im eino mashkim lepischo el shapogo babaderech muta liten lo shalom, and that seems to reflect the sheet of the Chachmei Provence, that in order to violate the sisa you need two conditions. Number one, he was mashkim lepischo, and number two, he used the word shalom. But if he's pogo babaderech, then he's allowed to give shalom. Now he introduces the Ravid, who says that even pogo baderech is also, because he'll get distracted. For example, motzei chaver b'shuk. But we're going to allow him to make this shinui by saying tzafer demari tav, kidei sheyitein lev shu osel is akev bidvar macherim klal ad shispal. That's going to be a reminder that he shouldn't get distracted. Now, how do we paskin halacha lemaisa? So I'm looking for the words v'chein yesh lahoros, but I'm not finding it. Just 1 second. Oh, so the mechaber doesn't really give you the bottom line of him. Then you have to go through the klolim that apply. You know, does he paskin like the first day, like the second day, like the third day? But if you take a look in the Mishnah Brura, at least we'll get a clue from the Mishnah Brura here in Sifkad and Tezayin. And he writes V'chein yesh lahoros. Do you see that where it says Yud Gimel? It's about like smack in the middle. V'yesh omrim V'chein yesh lahoros. So the final conclusion here of the Mishnah Brura is that pogo baderech is mutal liten lo shalom. It seems like he's paskening lekula, but then if you look at Sifkan Tezayin a little bit further down, he backtracks a little bit and he writes avak shavero shol b'shlomo. He says, "Mutalahashiv b'cholinyan." So I'm not sure if he's adding another kula. It could be that Mishnah Brura is giving us two kulas. Number one, that he happens to chance upon his friend and he's allowed to give him shalom. V'ein lachush. And number two, that this whole iser of sheilas shalom only applies if you take the initiative. But if your friend takes the initiative, then there's no iser whatsoever. Okay, now we don't have too much time left, but what I would like to do is the Trumas HaDeshen. Okay, so Trumas HaDeshen, which you'll see on page 2, says She'ela Hamashkim V'Omer Brachos U'Shvachos Ad Baruch She'Omar V'Chazal Lebeiso V'Asa Tzrocha V'Chafotzov Shapika Ovid Olo. In other words, what constitutes tefillah here? We say that before tefillah, you're not allowed to be Osek Asiyas Chafotzov. But what is tefillah? Does tefillah require Shmon Esrei? Or at least to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Brachos and Shvachos? And that already alleviates and removes the Iser of Asiyas Chafotzov. And we're going to have to see if that has any implication as far as Sheila Shalom. So the good news is that the Trumas HaDeshen is taking this She'ela seriously enough to write a tshuva that maybe Brachos and Shvachos is enough of a matir to allow Asiyas Chafotzov. So you can go home after, you know, after Kaddish Drabanan and take care of whatever he has to take care of. But the bad news is that he rejects this. And he says that the language of the Gemara is Asur. Right, Omar of Idi Barovin, etc. Also, Eliyahu Las Chafetz Kodem She Yispalel, and he says that the word Yispalel is a reference to Shmon Esrei. Whenever we see the word Tefillah, it's a reference to Shmon Esrei. So at this point, he doesn't seem to have any mercy, any compassion on someone who has an important matter to take care of, to get up to Baruch Shomer and then go take care of it. No. It says Kodem She Yispalel. But then, towards the end of this tshuva, you'll see the last 5 lines, he writes, Omnam ra'isi rabim hamedagdikim. Medagdikim means, I think, that they're pious people. Shayu nimnoim loleches litzarchem b'shachris ad shayu nichnosim b'tchila b'sakneses lomar brochos v'tishbrochos v'akachoy holchum litzarchem ona v'yona. In other words, the Trumas HaDeshen goes even a step further here. Not only does he entertain the question of the Shoel, but he even points out that there are Medagdikim who have implemented the Heter of the Shoel. But Haniril Aniyastaiti Lefum Dina de Talmud Kasavti, which means that, in my opinion, according to the Talmud, this would be prohibited, even though the Medagdikim are allowing themselves that permission. Now if you take a look back on page 3 again in the Shulchan Aruch, so the Ramah makes reference to that Medaktikim, and at the end of the quote that we have here it says Yesh Mekilim Liachas Shomru Mikzas Brachos Kodem Shomru Baruch Shomar. Does he have the rest of it? Yeah. On the top of page 4, he says, V'tov lahachmir bazen, quote, the Trumas HaDeshen. Now, what does the Ramah mean, V'tov lahachmir bazen? Does it mean that you have to wait all the way till after Shmon Esrei? For example, some people will recite Kriyat Shema first thing in the morning. Correct? Is that enough, perhaps, to be considered tefillah and to allow malacha before Shmon Esrei? Or is Ramah saying absolutely no, and the only thing that's mutter is dafka Shmon Esrei? Because again, if you go back to the Trumas HaDeshen, he seems to say no. That what is the Gemara referring to? Atfilah Shmon Esrei. That's the Iker tefillah. And nothing else would be matir. So what I'm suggesting here is there might be a middle of the road shita here. It's hard to say how far the Ramah was going with this chumrah that might permit asiyas chafotzim after kriyat shema, even though he hasn't davened yet. But certainly brachos v'tishbrachos up to baruch shomer would not be sufficient. Now again, you might ask me, My nafkimina, because after Amiras Kriyat Shema, you have tefillah coming right away. But the answer is, I'm talking about Kriyat Shema without Birchos Seher. So that might be a mati. Now, getting back to the Mishnah Berurah, what exactly is prohibited before tefillah? It says, Asiyas Chafatzah. So if you take a look at the bottom of page 4, this is Siman Reish Nun in Hilchos Shabbos.
So I'm sorry, Rav, just for a second. Would you say that it's not a question that definitely nobody is asking the question if there's that minyan is until later. So definitely they would say that a person should daven without a minyan first, that's not an issue for him waiting.
So wait, if I understand your question, Joe, here's the scenario. He has an opportunity to daven b'tzibur, but then he won't be able to dedicate himself to asiyas tzrochov, to chafotzov, whatever he has to do. Is he allowed then to daven b'yachidus, give up on tefillah b'tzibur, in order to be matir the iser of asiyas chafotzov before tefillah? So let him daven b'yachidus. Is that what you're asking?
It sounds like they're saying he must.
Again, I would say it depends on the urgency of his asiyas chafotzov, but you're right. If you're going like the Trumas HaDeshen, then it sounds like the Trumas HaDeshen, in a case of less brayer, you have no choice. You have to do what you have to do. You have to open up the geshäft. Otherwise, you lose, you know, who knows what business.
It sounds like you have to dub it first.
That's the Trumas HaDeshen. The Trumas HaDeshen. I'm raising a different possibility, Joe, that maybe you don't have to dub it first. All you have to do is say Kriyat Shema first. In other words, the Ramah is definitely rejecting the Mekilim, those Medagdikim, who said, no, just say Brachos up to Bar Shamar. That for sure the Ramah is not going to accept. But I don't know if the Ramah is going to go that one step further and accept the Chumas HaDeshen, hook, line, and sinker, and say, no, we have to wait till after Shmon Esher. If he does, then you're absolutely correct. In this either-or situation, where, number one, you can do Asiyas Chafatz before Tefillah, and then daven b'tzibur, or alternatively, you'll daven b'yachidus and then do your asiyas chafotzim. I would think that the Trumas HaDeshen, if he would be impressed by the urgency of asiyas chafotzim, he would probably advocate that you daven b'yachidus. But what I wanted to say is that this halacha finds itself not only in Hilchos Tefillah but also in Hilchos Shabbos. Why? Because the question is, can I go shopping on Friday before davening? So if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah here in Reish Nun, the Sifkat Aleph, he says the following, Mutar, it seems that he's being matir, what we call Hachana L'Shabbos, right? The Torah says, V'ayu b'yom ha'shishi v'echidu es asher yaviu. So we have to prepare for Shabbos. And he says that the preparation for Shabbos should begin miyad baboker, immediately with daybreak. Hainu, what does that mean? Miyad achar kriyat shma utfilah. So he says that imu rogil lilmod achar atfilah, Ezashir Kotsu, Voshalominim Ravim, Al Yuvatlenu. So he has to teach before davening, and that's okay. He's not involved in Asiyas Chafotsu. But what happens if Derech HaMokamu Limkar Baboker? All the good meat and potatoes are being sold a la Boker to be. And then he's going to have to teach his class, then daven late, and lo yimtzo liknos achal limudo. Now he's in a real bind. So on the one hand, we don't want him to give up his shir kavua. On the other hand, we don't want him to get involved in asiyas chafotzov and purchasing in the supermarket before davening, but davening is late, and he won't be able to find what he needs for Shabbos. So what should he do? He says, "Lo yikba limudo ela achar akniya," and he seems to assume in the next line that even kodem tefillah, because he's not going to be able to buy it afterwards. So what does he do? He first goes shopping for Kovet Shabbos, then he does his learning, and then he davens. So in effect, he's giving preference to Asiyas Chafotzev, in this case, buying Likvot Shabbos before Tefillah. Ach Yireh Likros Kriyat Shema Kevin Shekvar Yigiyaz Man. Okay, so he's worried about Sof Zman Kriyat Shema, let him say Kriyat Shema. Not the way I said it before, that Kriyat Shema itself would be a matir. And then he says, V'ein zeh b'chol ma sha'omru osu lasos chafotzim kom shispal shen zu cheftei shamayim. Now these last four words open up a whole Pandora's box, because what the Mishnah Berurah is doing is he's limiting asiyas chafotzov, which is prohibited before davening, to what's called chafotzov, as opposed to cheftei shamayim. So then cheftei shamayim is mutter. Now, on page 8, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted as saying that you're allowed lahakil liknos lifnei shachris ochel liktanim ayotzim mil lilimuda. We're not talking about Friday now, we're talking about a weekday. And you want to send off your children to school, to cheder, and the children have to eat before they go to school. And there's nothing in the cupboards, there's nothing in the fridge. So you're allowed to go buying food in the supermarket. Yeah, I don't know about Marisayan here, but anyway, buying food in the supermarket in order to feed your small children before they go to school, even though you haven't davened yet. And that too, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, is included under Tzorchei Shamayim. But it's interesting, he calls it Gemilas Chasodov Im B'nei Beiso. So I don't know, at first he speaks about, you know, sending the young children off. Now he speaks about Gemilas Chasodim. Ribbono Shel Olam, my wife wants a coffee. And guess what? I go to the cupboard, there's no coffee. Or more likely, there's plenty of coffee, there's no milk. So I'm allowed to go to the supermarket to buy milk because that's called Gemilas Chasodim. I mean, of course, you might do it because of Pikuach Nefesh or Shalom Bayis, but he's talking about Gemilas Chasodim. Now, there's a fascinating tshuva here from Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein. You know, today is the most popular meshiv for contemporary issues. He has a sefer called Chashukei Chemed, and he wants to know, once he's going shopping for his little children, is he allowed to b'meila buy food for himself? You know, he's not. The problem was halicha. You know, he shouldn't go out there for the express purpose of asiyas tzrocho. Correct? Because again, let's go back to the pasuk that we started with in Tehillim. The pasuk says, Tzedek lefonav yahalech. And Tzedek, we said, according to Rashi, is an allusion to tefillah. So first yahalech, go on your way to the synagogue. But here, he's going on his way to do Cheftei Shamayim. Once he's on his way to do Cheftei Shamayim, he's not going out of his way for a halicha for Cheftei Atzmo. So therefore might be mutter. Again, I'm not sure if Rav Zilberstein at the end of the day is willing to be mekil. But now we talk about going to the mikvah, and the Rambam codifies the halacha in Hilchos Tefillah Asur Likanes. This is on page 3. Asur, where am I? Where's the language here? Where does he say Mipnei? Just one second. Where's Merchatz? Just one second. Does anybody see the word Merchatz in the Rambam? I just temporarily I can't find it. Okay, I'll find it for you later. I just know that you have to go. So he says that there's no Issur to go into the Merchatz before Shachris. Why? There's an Issur Samach L'Mincha, right? Because that's the time that a lot of people go to the Merchatz. But B'Shachar, in the morning, it's a Dabar She'eino Matzui. It's quite uncommon. You know, today it's a little more common, but in those days it was uncommon. And the Rambam says that if it's not common, oh, here is B'shachar at the end of Halacha Zayin, B'shachar, Dover Shein Amatzui V'lo Gazrubo. So this is the principle of Milsa Lo Shchicha Lo Gazrubei Rabbana. And the Shulchan Aruch actually accepts this, and this you'll see on page 5, in Sif Zayin, and he writes, Mutter, okay, fine. Finally, kaneis lemerchatz samuch leshachar shol gozer el samuch lemitchushu davar matzu. Now it's interesting. Despite the fact that both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch allow you to go into the merchatz before davening, the later poskim say, and this you'll see in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on page 6, ein lirchotz haguf b'sabon kodem tefillah. So I don't know, you know. The Rambam, so the Rambam's head to is only to go into the bath, but not to wash your body with sabon. That's already considered tzorchei atzmo. Whereas going into the Beis HaMerchatz before davening, which was unusual, was done in order to prepare for tefillah. So that's called cheftzei shamayim. But once you start washing yourself with soap, you know, a lot of people before they go into the mikvah, and it's a pretty good idea for. Some of the mikvahs require it that you take a shower with soap first, but he's saying that you're not allowed to do before davening. However, Baruch Hashem, there were other poskim who allow taking a shower before going to the mikvah, even with soap. So that's good for the Jews, and that you'll find in the name of the Shevet HaLevi of Rav Shmuel Vosner, who passed away recently. And although maybe he's not so excited about it, but he says, Yesh l'amin tzchus al mekilim. Because again, it's not a real rechitz. If they do, you know, a 20-minute shower with soap, and they take out every kind of soap and every kind of shampoo, that's already l'tzorech atzmo. But if they're doing it just b'derech haroi, that he says is allowed. Now, what about exercise before davening? Going out for a morning run. So it's interesting, you know, there's a Rav from Atlanta. He passed away. His name is Rav Greenblatt. There are two Rav Greenblatts in Memphis, so don't get nervous. But the older one is called the Rav Safraim. Actually, he's the nephew, but he's older than his uncle. And the Rav Safraim, who passed away, I think, he's matir. Anything that's healthy, like exercise before davening, it's a gevaldig kul, and he says that's not called cheftzei atzmo, but rather it's like cheftzei shamayim. So this might have a moral impact on what, you know, what exercise is all about. Now, with regard to taking a haircut before davening, so it's very interesting. Here, the poskim get a little bit upset about it. They're not happy with haircuts before davening. That's called already asiyas tzrachov. So I don't know, you know, for those who shave before Shabbos, I was thinking that maybe that could be considered tzarech shamayim, insofar as you're allowed to buy things for Shabbos before you daven. Maybe you're also allowed to take a haircut before davening if you're taking a haircut for Shabbos. But during the week, I think that would be a problem. Now, what about looking at a newspaper before davening? Or, for example, in my case, what I have is I go on Arutz Sheva, you know, to get the news briefs, as they call it. Because who wants to go daven before you see all the terrible things that are going on and you want to daven about it? Are you allowed to make your bed before davening? You know, a lot of people go out straight from shul, they go to work, and they don't, you know, the bed is going to be completely under, you know, in disarray for the entire day. Or, for example, let's say you have like smelly clothing and you want to just, you know, put last night's underwear or whatever into the washing machine. And Rav Shlomo Zalman on page 6 addresses these questions as to whether or not these are included under cheftzei atzmo or cheftzei shamayim. He writes, "Haknasat kvisa l'toch mechonat kvisa Vehaf alata vechein hotzos apsolus lepacha ashba sheberchov mutarim kodem atfila. So that's already not such a profound, you know, involvement in your own needs. You know, you just got to get the rubbish out because it's going to smell, and you got to get your smelly clothing into the washing machine. Ukmochein nirez, we saw before, yesh lahakel liknos lefnei shachris ochel liktanim hayotzim lilimudam. And then we raise the question, once he's already in the supermarket, is he allowed to buy for himself? That Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't address. Rav Moshe Zelig Weiss is going to talk about that. And then he writes that his osur l'staper, and he says not only his head, he can't take a haircut, but also l'saper sa'aros hazokon, to straighten out his beard, that also is prohibited before davening. And then he writes, ein roi lirchotz haguf b'sabon, avlishtatef b'mayim, he says to take a shower without soap, is that's possibly mutter. No, it's not just going into the mikveh, but even preparing yourself for the mikveh by going into the shower. It's very fascinating here that he speaks about situations in which a person has to eat his breakfast early in the morning, and it's before shachris. So what should he do? So Joe had mentioned that he should daven b'yichidus. Rav Shlomo Zalman is not excited about that. But what he says is, yispalel tefila k'tzara konim ha'achila. So now we have to know the laws of a tefila k'tzara, which I think is called havinenu, if I'm not mistaken. And then he writes, v'chein roi sheyikru kriyat shma. Definitely, if he has to eat, he should recite kriyat shma. So Rabbo said, what I didn't get a chance to do, and maybe you know the answer to this question, is to ask the Lubavitchers in Chabad, they're very makil about eating before davening. Now I'm not saying they have a full meal, but they'll probably have, I don't know, I don't want to be motzi laz, but some of them anyway will have a piece of cake with a coffee. Now they say it's better to eat in order to daven than to daven in order to eat. But I wonder if they are makpid to say Kriyat Shema before they eat. I never heard of anyone davening a tefillah k'tzara before they eat. That's a chiddush to me. And then he writes, Hamargish tzorech lishtos kodem atfilah mutalo lishtos kafe im chalav v'sukar. So Zalman is gevaldig of mekil here. As far as coffee is concerned, you don't have to drink black Turkish coffee, what they call here butts. You're allowed to drink regular coffee with milk and sugar. And here he doesn't mention Kriyat Shema, but he should say some sort of Bakosha. That's what I found here in the Halichos Shlomo. I'm sure there's a lot more than what we covered today, but at least we touched on some of the issues here. We spoke about exercise, that's on page 7. The Rivo Sefraim on the bottom left. He says, La leches, to go for a long walk, vila roots, or even to run, and to lose weight, or simply for the sake of exercise and health, if it's for brius, aguf, and how much more so if it's tzorech refu'i, efshal lahatir, Ach shiomar birchas ha-shachar uktsas psuki v'zimra. Once again, I would have added Kriyat Shema here if possible, but he doesn't mention Kriyat Shema, psuki v'zimra. Again, he's not saying the brach of Baruch Shomar, because then he can't be mafsik, but at least some psuki v'zimra. He doesn't tell you which psuki v'zimra. Now there's another issue here about lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. With regard to, let's say you're after davening already, but you want to order a cab or some other poel to do the work, and you know for sure that this person hasn't davened yet. And the question is that called a violation of Lifnei Iver? And this is addressed by Rav Shlomo Zalman on page 7 in Halicha Shlomo. And he says, Asu lo ligrom lechavero l'sasek b'tzroch of kodem she'ispal mishum Lifnei Iver. Umasha anu mazminim. And why is it that we're allowed to order a cab or to expect that the Poland will come to do their malacha and they haven't davened? The aduolo sheterem inichu tefillin v'terem karu kriyas shma v'spalu yesh lelamit zchus al kach tekeved de'enam omdim klal ispalu rachmanu litzlan efshe she'ev b'zelef na'iv. So if you're inviting a religious person and you know he hasn't davened yet, then there's lef na'iv here. But if you're talking about Nebuch, a person who's not yet religious and he's not going to daven in any event, then he says that it could be that that doesn't come under Lifnei Iver. I mean, for that we'd have to learn the entire sugya of Lifnei Iver and the principle of Haliteni L'Rasha, V'Yomus, and so forth. Now finally, just closing this up, as far as Achila and Shasiya before davening, the Rambam goes very far with this. The Rambam in Perek Vav Halacha Dalet says that even to ima, even to have a taste of anything, may acher sha'ol al mura shachar at shispal tefil shachar, it's also from amura shachar and on. So some people wake up early enough that it's before amura shachar. That's a different story. The Minchas Chinuch writes, and this you'll see on page 3, that from the Sefer Chinuch would seem that we're dealing with an isa doraisa that's derived from the pasuk lo sochlu al hadam, which the Gemara says lo sochlu kodem shispal al dimchem, as we saw. But the Achronim seem to assume that this whole Isur is the Rabbana and the Pasuk is only in Asmachta, and the Minchas Chinuch explains that the Rambam who holds that Tefillah is Doraisa, the Isur Te'ima, is also Midoraisa B'Toras Chatzi Shir. Now I'm not sure if that's so. Either it's also or it's Mutta. I don't know if there's Chatzi Shir on this Isur, but that's what the Minchas Chinuch assumes. Now the Bir Halacha in Sif Gimel, Dibra Maskev Lo Lecho, which you'll find on page 4, says there's an afkemina between the two reasons why it's also to eat before davening. That if it's also because of Lo Sochlu Al Adam, then it's also even if he read Kriyat Shema up until Tefillah, because the Gemara says that Lo Sochlu Ad Kodem Shetispalalu Al Dimchem. So the key word here and the emphasis is on tefillah. Kodem shispalu al dimcha. So the matir for eating is tefillah, which means Shmon Esrei. Nothing less will be matir. The Rosh, back on page 1, which we never got a chance to look at, quotes the Avi Ezri, Demuta lishtos mayim baboker kodem tefillah dlo shayach b'mayim gaiva. If you're thirsty and you want to drink water, that's not called gaiva. And the poskim want to know, what about tea? What about coffee? And we discussed this before, adding milk, adding sugar. The Mishnah Berurah is very machmir, and he allows coffee or tea, but without milk and without sugar. But the Mishnah Berurah himself realizes that that's a big chumrah, difficult chumrah. Ve'ha'olam no'agim lahakel im sukar. Doesn't sound like the minig was to allow milk, but they were makil as far as sugar is concerned. The poskim say that today we drink coffee with milk and sugar, and therefore that's not called gaiva. That's already all included in coffee. If you're going to be mad to coffee, then you're going to have to be mad to coffee the way we drink coffee, and we have to go as far as to allow even adding milk and sugar. But I myself know that there are many, many people who are machmir on this. And they don't get excited about drinking coffee, milk, and sugar before davening. Now, if we had time, we would go through this article of Rav Moshe Zelig Weiss. And the interesting part is if you take a look at Os Gimel, he wonders whether or not these Isurim are just a Chisarn in Tefillah, Or perhaps it's a begia in tefillah, a giron in tefillah. For example, you want to say there's a fundamental difference between the Yisra Achila before davening and the other prohibitions. He wants to say that in the case of Achila before davening, which is Derech Geus, that's pogea and pogeim his tefillah. That a person has to first be mekabel malchus shemayim with shiflus and inui, and then only then he can go ahead and eat and drink. But on the other hand, the Isur, for example, of doing malach, of doing tzrachav before davening, or holeich ledarko shol b'shlom chaver, this is not a giron in tefillah. This is a din of what he calls lahakdim kvod ha'adam lekvod ha'shchin. But that's not pogeh in the tefillah itself. Okay, very interesting, but we're not going to go through this. It's a long discussion. I want to thank you for coming. And have a great day, Kol Tov.